Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
This episode is sponsored by GoDaddy.com, the world's largest web host and domain name registrar, with domains as low as $1.99 and hosting for less than $5 a month. Enter promo code STUFF10 at checkout and save 10% off your entire order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh. Chuck, say hi.
Hi, Josh.
This is Stuff You Should Know. You put Chuck and I together in a room and press record and you get Stuff You Should Know, just like that.
It's that easy.
Yeah, we should put like a star twinkle in there. Chuck?
Yes, Josh.
Have you ever passed by like an old store or something like that and you just felt drawn to go look in the window, just kind of peer in it?
An old store that's closed down?
Yeah, like it. Yeah, okay. Exactly. I'm sorry. An old unused store of some sort, like an old grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
And you look inside and really it's just kind of like, you know, some pillars that hold the ceiling up.
Uh-huh.
Maybe if you're lucky, a couple of shelving units.
Yeah.
That's about it, right?
I do. I'll get into this a little later, but I'm way, way, way turned on by this subject we're going to be talking about today.
Really?
Uh-huh. I'm way into it, and I've done it.
Turned on?
Well, yeah, sure, intellectually.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a weird thing to be turned on by. But have you ever, okay, well, wow, my whole intro's just shot. Let's talk about Urban Explorers,
okay,
shall we?
Sorry to derail you.
No, you're fine, you're fine. So we're talking about urban exploration.
Right.
And let's just give a little background here, a little definition right here.
Well, urban explorers are people that, it doesn't always have to be urban, meaning city. It's basically when you go and explore any abandoned structure, correct?
Almost always abandoned.
Almost always abandoned.
Yeah.
Structure. And you see what's there. There's some ground rules, you know, you're not supposed to take anything.
No, there's some real codes of conduct that have cropped up that are like really strict.
Uh-huh.
So basically, you've got urban exploration really kind of starting in earnest in the 1970s, right?
Right. There's San Francisco?
Yeah, this group called the Suicide Club. And I'm not entirely certain, but I think Ken Kesey was a member. And they used to go tour like old utility tunnels,
uh-huh,
and old hospitals and stuff around San Francisco. They also used to do, and I think this is where they got their name, during storms, they'd jump into San Francisco Bay. And apparently there was one seawall that had some heavy chains linked to it.
Uh-huh.
So they'd hold on to the chains and just get whipped around by the waves.
Wow.
Yeah. They did other weird stuff. They had like dinner parties on Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, that was really cool.
But they and also you can even go a little further back than that. In the 50s, students at MIT used to tour like underground steam tunnels on, uh-huh, around campus and everything. But most people credit Suicide Club as the people who really started to do urban exploration.
Right.
But it took about 20 years before it really started to catch on.
Uh-huh.
And so you got the 90s, and now all of a sudden there's that code of conduct, the code of ethics, right?
Right.
Which were?
Well, like I said before, you're not supposed to take anything. What I thought was interesting is there's this old saying with camping and wilderness exploration, which is take only pictures, leave only footprints.
Mm-hmm. And it's like the Sierra Club.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with urban explorers, even though they're, you know, a lot of people would just say they're just ratty old buildings. They have a lot of respect for it, it seems like.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that they have to contend with. I mean, you have homeless people who,
sure,
find these ratty old buildings to provide shelter.
Mm-hmm.
You've got people who, I've never understood the compulsion to spray graffiti, especially,
right,
when you suck at it.
I've
got a can of black paint, and look, I can write.
Right.
It just looks awful. Now, if you're a graffiti artist,
that's
totally
different. Right.
But just spray painting something for the sake of spray,
right,
painting it, I don't understand it.
Yeah,
especially if your tag sucks. I don't think you should do it.
Right.
I think you should either work on your tag or just quit altogether.
Right.
Okay, so they've got all these other people that actually probably kind of give them a bad name, urban explorers. And when I say them, I'm referring to a vast network of people who are either totally independent, loosely, or very tightly knit.
Right, thanks to the internet.
Yeah, the internet's really helped, which is probably why it started to really take off in the 90s.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And these people are just, like you said, they're drawn to abandoned or unused or neglected,
uh-huh,
man-made structures.
Yeah.
Right?
I am.
Yeah, and but they don't. They're not the ones who are doing the graffiti.
No, that's because that's against the code of conduct. They, don't break things.
You
don't
can't.
Take things.
Yes, you can't use wire cutters to make it past a fence.
Yeah, I like that one.
You know, you certainly can't kick in a door or anything right. like that. And yeah, if there's like, I read about one guy who found this old mining office, uh-huh. and it was like a 19th century office, and he found like these reams of like really personal personnel files.
Uh-huh.
Way more personal than you. Oh, I would hope my personnel file is. And he just sat there and read them and quietly put them back.
Right.
I think he found some X-rays and things there too of like people with black lung and just really interesting stuff. But he didn't take anything.
Right.
He put them back where he found them. So that's another one too.
Uh-huh.
So all of this stuff kind of forces you to get creative. Right?
And how you get in.
How you get in, but also, you know, what you're doing while you're there. If you right. can't take anything to show your friends, that logically leads to documenting it.
Right.
And there are tons. If you go onto Flickr mm-hmm. and type in urban exploration, urban explorer, urban anything, about urban whatever, as long as it has to do with UE,
mm-hmm.
it brings up some really cool stuff.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, you got to. And, of course, my favorite website of all time, Forgotten Detroit, which I make
love
you
it.
Look at probably, what, once a month?
Yeah.
Even love, though it hasn't changed love, in, love like, a decade.
Right.
Yeah, that's the same thing, too. It's one of the aspects of urban exploration is to document this crumbling present that's actually very much rooted in the past.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what have you explored? I'm curious.
Well, I don't know when this all started, but I was really young, and just I thought most boys were like this, but I was way into exploring things.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's a photographer. He used to take my brother and I out to the country in Georgia to photograph old barns and things, and my brother and I would always explore these barns, and that's kind of how it started.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about a large I'm not sure, you could probably study me clinically, because anytime I'm in a large empty building I get really excited. Like, it doesn't even have to be an old abandoned building, but I've taken like a tour of like a stadium, let's mm-hmm. say, Stanford Stadium at UGA mm-hmm. when no one else was there. And being out there with no one else, there's something about it. It thrills me.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, have you gotten into this a little more? Have you taken it to?
Well, yeah. When I was about 13 or 14, my family used to vacation in Florida, in Pensacola, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an old fort there, the campground called Fort Pickens. 1843 is when this thing was built, mm-hmm. and it was in service till about 47. And we made torches, just like you see on TV, with like the cloth wrapped around the end. And the battery there on the beach, you could sneak through the bars. They're like prison bars. And my brother and I did this, and we explored all these rooms and tunnels from like the Civil War. Guys had stuff like scratched on the wall and painted on the wall.
Was it like a prison?
I don't really know. I actually looked today to try and find out exactly what part of Fort Pickens we were in. I think it was the battery. I don't think it was a prison.
Okay.
But they would have the bar, so you know, obviously the enemy couldn't get in and
get
to their stuff.
Unless they were 14-year-old boy enemies.
Right. But, so we explored the heck out of Fort Pickens, and it was really, really cool. And then I did it again. Probably about 8 or 9 years ago in Atlanta, I lived in some warehouses on the west side of Atlanta, and my friend and I got into one that was empty and kind of boarded up, and we found all these old blueprints for MARTA, our subway system here, for when MARTA was first being pitched to the city in the 70s, and all these old plans and blueprints and letters and things like that.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm way into it.
I guess so.
I mean, not way into it. I'm obviously not in a club, and I don't do this regularly, but when I have done it, I just think it's really cool.
Do you have a handle?
I don't have a handle.
Okay.
I didn't take anything, though, and I didn't even know that was a rule. So I just didn't want to disturb anything.
It sounds like you are a true urban explorer.
Yeah, so I've done it a few times, and I would do it again at the drop of a hat. I mean, if someone knew of a place, if you called me up on a Friday and mm-hmm. said, hey, man, I know this empty shopping mall.
Yeah,
I would go in a second.
I'm glad you said shopping mall. There was one that actually I want to plug another site, uer.ca. It's a Canadian Urban Exploration Resources site.
Uh-huh.
And they allow people to post, you know, documentation of their own exploration. And there was one that I was looking at in Atlanta. I think I showed you too.
Yeah.
Of the old Avondale Mall.
Right, which is right near where I grew up.
So whoever did that just did a spectacular job of documenting this mall. It was clearly in its heyday in the 80s. Everything's very pastelish.
Right.
There's like huge mirrors everywhere. Uh-huh. It is one of the creepiest things I've ever seen in my life. And now it's gone.
Yeah, there's a Walmart there.
Which is another point of urban exploration, as far as I understand it. You're catching a last snapshot of something before it dies.
Right.
Because we inevitably tear just about everything down.
Right.
And this is keeping it for posterity. Not in its form of, you know, when it was in its peak or you know, functioning, but almost like after it's aged and right before it dies.
Uh-huh.
You're kind of capturing that.
One last look.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's at this point that we should say we do not recommend urban exploring because it is in fact trespassing and it is illegal. So we're not saying you should go out and urban explore just because your friend Chuck has.
Not only that, it's very, very dangerous.
It can be, yeah.
By definition, a neglected building is, you know, it's a dangerous place.
Right.
You know, there's such things as building inspectors, but they only inspect functioning buildings.
Right.
So if you take the function out of a building, there goes the building inspector, and you have no idea whether you're going to fall through a floor or, you know, have a floor fall on you from above, which would make it a ceiling, I believe.
Right. Actually, someone passed away not too long ago. Is that correct?
Yeah, in Australia, there were some kids that were exploring a sewer system, and there was like a sudden storm, and mm-hmm. the storm water just came hard and fast, swept them off their feet, and pinned them against a grate where it was exiting into the ocean, and they drowned, pinned against this grate. So, yeah. I mean,
it can be very dangerous.
It can be. So, yeah, I think that was a good move, Chuck. I think our legal department's really going to appreciate that.
Don't listen to me.
Exactly.
Listen to me, but don't do what I say.
Yeah. So we've talked about shopping malls, right? But there are actual, like, you know, there's other mundane things like that, like an old office building or something like that. There's just, if out of a building and leave it there for 10 years, anything's interesting.
Yeah.
Right? But there's also some like destination spots for urban exploration. Like, have you heard of Danvers State Hospital?
No.
Have you ever seen the movie Session 9?
I have.
You've seen Session 9?
Yeah, I brought that up.
You're like
the
only other person I've ever met who saw Session 9.
Yeah, I brought that up for our asbestos article. Because it's an asbestos team in the movie that's going to this abandoned mental hospital.
Yeah.
Very creepy movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it is very, very creepy. But that's filmed at Danvers.
Okay.
There's another place that's in Massachusetts. And it's an abandoned insane asylum.
Uh-huh.
Which is just creepy enough. But this thing is huge. Old gothic architecture. It's all brick.
I would love to walk through that place.
Well, there is one that's similar that you could walk through, which actually technically takes it off of any urban exploration list, because one of the things is that it has to be off limits to truly be urban exploration.
Right.
There's a place called Waverly Hills in Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
It's a tuberculosis sanatorium, and I think it was around for 30 or 40 years, and in that period of time, 60,000 people died there.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was bad. They have like this little morgue that's still there, the white tile. There's like hospital, like old time hospital gurneys everywhere, old timey wheelchairs. It is beyond creepy. And that's actually open for tours. I think there's a couple that either bought it or bought the rights to give tours there. So
that's cool.
Waverly Hills in Kentucky would be a good place to go if you're into that.
I love it. I think part of it has to do with being scared. I like that feeling. It's an exhilarating feeling to be somewhat frightened. I'm not talking scared out of my wits or anything. I don't like that. But there's something about an element of danger or being scared and being some large, dark place alone that it just, I don't know, I get a kick out of it.
I agree. Well, you and your brother, take your own advice. Be careful if you're going to do it. And if you did, don't say that we told you to do it.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's urban exploration. And this is Listener Mail. Okay, so Chuck, what do you have for us?
Josh, I have a couple of quick corrections this week.
Okay.
We're not always right.
That is a lie.
We do the best we can with facts, but sometimes we think of things on the fly and don't exactly have it at our fingertips. So we have a couple of corrections in our podcast about, which one was it with the magic bullets? Was it Where's the Best Place to Get Shot? When you talked about Kennedy?
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you thought it was a senator who was shot with JFK in Dallas.
And of course it wasn't.
No, and you should have known this one. Texas Governor John Connally, who was actually in the car with him.
Why should I have known that one?
Because that was a big event in our nation's history.
I agree, but wow.
I'm not scolding you, but okay. I didn't know it either, so what am I saying?
And who is that from?
That was from Dave Barton.
Thanks, Dave.
And then Carrie Klinger, who is a dentist here in Atlanta, mm-hmm. actually, says she wanted to comment on the inconsistency with the one about the FDA and herbal substance regulation.
Mm-hmm.
We compared Tylenol, over-the-counter Tylenol, to Tylenol 3, which you need a prescription to get. And the reason you need a prescription is because Tylenol 3 is regular Tylenol with codeine added, which is a narcotic.
I don't even remember saying that. Can we play the clip real quick? Exactly. Like, think about how you perceive Tylenol.
Sure.
And then how you perceive Tylenol 3, that stuff with codeine.
Right.
Which is pretty much like 800 milligrams of Tylenol,
right.
I think. Something like that.
That's from Carrie Klinger, and like I said, she's a dentist, and she said it's not a matter of a difference in dosage. It's a much different drug with a narcotic in it, and so it's subject to regulation. And she says that she prescribes it whenever she takes a tooth out, and I'm actually in the market for a dentist, so I might look.
I've got one for you.
Well, I want to go to Carrie Klinger here in Atlanta so
okay.
I can get some codeine.
That's awesome. You're med-seeking, you realize.
Well, I'd need it in case I had a tooth out.
Have you noticed we're huge in the dental community?
We are. That's two letters from dentists.
Yeah, that's weird. All right. Well, thank you to Carrie Klinger and
Dave.
Thanks, Dave. And if you want your letter read, make sure it's witty and clever and send it to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.